Fabulous track. I think I want to steal that laptop.
I need it.
I know you do. Lynn, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
You've been releasing tracks, as far as my information tells me, as far as 2002?
Yeah, I guess I'd be about right, 2002. Yeah, my own label I started... oh, yeah, that's true. I'm just
2002.
Yeah.
From Zero was
Sonic Terror. Sonic Terror was like 2001, 2002. Yeah, so that's about right. Don't even know.
That's fine. I just wanted to insist on the length of time that you've been doing this particular function.
Sure.
So you've been releasing records as early as 2002. You're also running your own label. You've run your own label, Sonic Terror Recordings, for a while.
Yeah.
Nowadays, do you tend more towards releasing music or towards live sets?
Well, the label's been pretty much, you know, on the back burner for a long time. And my friend Scott, who was running Sonic Terror with me in the beginning, he started his own label, Terminal Dusk, and he's been doing that for a while. And I've just been too busy to really do anything with it, so I've enlisted a couple of friends from Holland to help build it back up again. So we're just now starting to get some new stuff together for it. But it's very, very special projects we have coming up. Very, you know, close to our hearts. Not something we'd want anybody else to touch. You know.
So. What?
What do you mean by that?
This isn't the time.
Nicholas, let me bounce a question off you. Running ad nauseum nowadays, with the state of the CD market as it is, the incredible... amount of piracy that takes place. Do you find it still viable to release CDs, to release records, or do you find that you need to insist more on DJ sets, on concerts?
No.
How viable is it nowadays to keep a record label up?
It's
in the realm of electronic
music. It's
very
difficult. It's definitely a lot more difficult than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago when I started. But my focus is still definitely on the label. The DJ set activities and whatever is something I enjoy a lot and I wish it would do more, but which I distinguish totally from the more professional part of running the label and releasing and distributing the releases.
Do you find that the ad nauseum releases sell better for certain categories of age? Do you find that marketing the specific type of electronica that you do works better outside of Europe, more in the US? Or do you find audiences receptive wherever you've been, wherever you've DJed, wherever you've held concerts for your artists?
Well, audiences are receptive. Also, maybe because we are not invited to places where the audience is not somewhat interested
in what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. But as far as sales and release are concerned, it's there are definitely very precise geographic zones where people live who are into this kind of music. It's Western Europe, Northern Europe, definitely Japan, North America. But some countries, for example, have a lot more ad nauseum fans, I think, than other. And it's that's very interesting, for example, to be invited to Lebanon and speak to people who know this music, because it's not a country which I really had on the map so far. And it's a very nice surprise to see that there are people out there, even that we don't know. We have never seen those... and use our life, for example, but are interested and are thirsty for it.
No, there was a very big hype around the coming of Nicolas Chevreux and Lynn Standafer to Beirut, I can tell you from my end. I think one of your great fans is a local musician called Munma. He played on the night. He opened for Warmed Up for End User on that night. Did you find it surprising that someone from the Middle East would be playing live electronic music? Were you aware that the Middle East does produce, or Lebanon in this particular case, produce live electronic music?
I was aware of it because I'm a good friend of Cédric Fermont, who
Absolutely.
I think I've played twice in Beirut, and who is always very curious of what kind of music, what kind of electronic or experimental music is made in surprising countries from Europe. So he has already showed me tracks by people. I don't remember if it was specifically Lebanon, but I knew that there were producers in the Middle East. And maybe 6 months ago or something like that, Adi from Acousmatic, who invited us here, sent me the tracks, some tracks by Moonma from his latest record, I think. So I knew there were people. I wasn't always aware what they were doing, but it's definitely, there is an awareness, or even in the States or in Germany, that people produce music outside of those countries. Yeah.
Which is kind of reassuring.
Yeah, but that's I wish those people had it easier to play outside of Lebanon or wherever they live.
Well, it's a very young scene, so there is time for these not so young artists, but at least they're young and as much that they haven't been producing for a very long time. I think there is still time for them to go outside of their boundaries.
I hope they do.
Let's listen to another track from that fabulous laptop of yours.
The next track is also a pretty recent one. It was recorded last year, written by a musician called Rolf Funken, one of the two brothers who is behind Funkarma, a very essential electronica act from the Netherlands who's been active for at least 10 years, probably more. They've also been releasing as Shadowhunters, Quench, and whatever. They're really a very important act in the Netherlands for that kind of stuff. Very talented. And Anoisian released the first solo album by Rolf Funken, so one of the two Funkarma brothers, called Vade. And this is the closing track. It's called Lager Mater, and it's a game of sample from Major Lazer, who you've maybe heard of. This pretty...
I've played him on this program a couple of times.
All right, yeah, okay. Yeah. So Lager Mater from Rolf Funken.
Let's go. Thank you. Nicholas, I think it's fabulous to which extent you've covered the musical a certain section of the electronic musical scope tonight. You've played three tracks that are very different as far as output and genre goes.
I really don't like to repeat myself. Although, if I was to get bored of what I do, I would definitely do something else.
On these fine words, I want to thank you both for these for being here with us tonight for this interview. On behalf of the Acousmatic crew and the 300 very happy people who were in Fara this weekend, thanks for these for your DJ set, Nicholas, and for your set, Lynn.
Yeah.
We're going to listen to a final track of your choosing, Nicholas, and then we're gonna let Lynn take up our improvised stage to grace us with a live performance in the studios tonight. Here's hoping to see you again soon on these shores.
Would be very happy to play again.
Would love to, yeah.
Thank you very much. And would you like to introduce this this last track of the Ad Nauseam label, Nicholas?
It's another very different track, a track by a British artist called Mothboy, who's released three albums of Ad Nauseam before deciding to stop his project and move on actually to more rock-oriented music. So this track is one of the closing one on the final Mothboy album called Bunny. And as you're going to hear, it's already a very interesting mixture of electronic music and acoustic elements.
Thank you very much to you both and to Hadi, who's here with us in the studio.
Thank you very much.
See you soon. Everybody.
Take it easy.
Over ground, I'm going up. The sky gives way.
Il a joué live à Phara il y a 2 jours de cela dans le cadre de la Mad Parade. Voici Len Standaffer, alias End User, live dans les studios de Radio Liban 96.2 FM pour une performance exclusive sur ces ondes. À vous tout de suite, End User.
We'll be right back.
control.